Please remain standing as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we approach your throne of glory this morning in adoration. Lord, be glorified and highly exalted. You are holy, faithful, all-powerful, and all-loving. And we love you for who you are. We thank you for sending the promised Savior to rescue and redeem. Lord, you are patient towards sinners, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Such an amazing gift that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for our sake, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you for the reconciliation that has taken place between us and yourself. Increase our passion to join you in bringing the good news, the message of reconciliation to every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Lord, we look at our world today and see brokenness and turmoil. Lord, we pray for your peace to end the wars and conflicts between Ukraine and Russia, in Gaza, in Palestine, between Israel and Hezbollah, between Israel and Hamas. We pray for the people in these lands who live in fear and suffering. We pray for these nations to be reconciled. We pray for the hatred and violence to cease. Heavenly Father, we also remember those in our country affected by the hurricane and floods. We ask for your comfort to embrace those who have lost loved ones and homes. Strengthen them with courage and provide for their needs. Give wisdom to volunteers to help amidst devastation. May your hope replace fears. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are grieving and mourning great loss today. We pray to continue for healing for our seriously sick and injured, especially among your children and youth. Please be with their families. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness from generation to generation. We trust in your sovereign and mighty hand to lead us forward. May your will be done in our lives. Make us generous and cheerful givers and loving encouragers as you compel us to demonstrate your love and goodness. We gratefully celebrate our unity in Christ and with one another in the Holy Communion this morning. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Let us remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Today's scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 11 to verse 21. I will read from the English Standard Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one who died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Good morning, and welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. I am Pastor Sandy, and the junior high worship and I are delighted to join you in the English congregation worship and communion today. October is Mission Month in RCCC. Just as the fall has arrived, it comes with the seasonal infusion of pumpkin spice that flavors our lattes, snacks, cereals, and coffee, an invasion much to my displeasure. But at RCCC, much of October will feature the flavor of global and local mission. October is our mission month, my favorite time of the year. This is the time of the year to especially remember our dear friends and partners sent to the various mission fields. Please do not forget them. Let's love our missionaries. Families and community groups, please send them a message of encouragement or a love gift. Sign up on their prayer support list. Attend the mission conference next week or the workshops on October Sunday afternoons. And consider how the Lord may lead you to respond in the mission faith pledge and contribute towards the Great Commission work, both near and far. RCCC, it would be a huge blessing, such a blessing, to be in a healthy pattern of partnership to share God's love to the lost. We must stay engaged with our mission partners. But how? It's wonderful that partners have visited us through the summer. So there were nice gatherings and fellowship and workshops and time for our children to play and get to know each other. My husband and I made a decision in our home to keep our boys engaged. When they were young, until this very point, in our home, there is a central hallway. And instead of decorating it the normal way, you know, with family pictures and with beautiful decor, it became a mission hallway. From any point A to point B, going from bedroom to kitchen to living room, you have to walk through this hallway and acknowledge the hallway. So two things we had put up intentionally. Number one, we put a laminated world map. Over the years, the national boundaries have changed and the old countries, some disappeared and new countries are now missing. But we learned every country and knew where every one of our mission partners were. Number two, we put up a bulletin board of missionary pictures and the most recent prayer letters. And back in the day, it was not by emails or by posts, but it was by snail mail and real photos. And so it recounted stories and testimonies of how God was working. And these letters were overflowing and it extended down the hallway onto other walls. So we had our missionaries in our heart. We had to pray for them every night. And they were in our minds and in our prayers. And my boys look forward to every home assignment, so they felt strangely connected. If we didn't stay engaged, we forget to pray. And so it worked for my family. Just as the Lord is preparing a younger generation of partners within our congregation to go and serve on the field, we now also have to pray for a new generation to give, to pray, and to send. As a former mission chair, I have had to be in the hard position of fiscal realities. Questions of who to support, which mission teams, STMs, to send, which partners to bring home for rest, which agencies and projects to drop. We wrestle to avoid wrong decisions and wrestle to be united in right directions. Unless our patterns of giving dramatically changes at RCCC, we may have to wrestle. Let's pray that God would do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Ask God to do immeasurably more through you. This morning, I'd like to present a simple message of why and how we do missions and discover through 2 Corinthians 5 why and how the Apostle Paul did his mission. Three major points to highlight about missions today. Just three simple points. Number one, global mission flows out of God's heart for the world. We do mission to the world because God loves this world. The most well-known verse in the Bible declares God's feeling towards the world. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the world. Global mission starts because of God's love for a broken, disobedient, and fallen human race, that he would send his Son to reconcile, rescue, redeem, and restore his relationship to fallen mankind. For God so loved the world. Mission starts with God's love. There's no doubt how much he loves the world, enough to sacrifice his only Son to save unworthy people. If God loves the world, so should we as the people of God. Sometimes we get the wrong message about mission, that the world is poor and we are wealthy and we are driven into mission with a sense of guilt. Sometimes we see pictures of starving naked kids with bloated bellies in a land of famine and we are driven out of pity. Sometimes we hear stories of human trafficking where victims live in modern-day slavery, and we are driven over anger of injustice. Or sometimes we are just bored with our routine lives and work fatigue, and we are driven for a cultural exchange and adventure. That would result in the quickest exit once the discomfort, danger, and persecution hits. Nothing can compel us to do mission more than the love of Christ. Global mission flows out of the heart of God for the world, for God so loved the world. The second point I want you to know today is the work of mission is God's mission. Literally, it's Missio Dei. God's mission. We do mission work because it's God's idea and it's God's work. It's not something that we dreamed up as human beings. If God took the initiative to free captives from sin, to find lost souls, and to transform broken lives and make us a new creation, so then he invites us to join him in the work that he's already doing. God prepares the soil. He plants the seeds. He waters it, and then he makes it grow. Each step of the way, God invites a different person to join his work. Some workers may never see the fruit of their contribution, but praise the Lord, God's work will make progress until harvest, until completion. We just need to do our part in the big picture. Now, what has God's mission, what does it look like today? From Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and now we are going to the ends of the earth. The early church began by doing cross-cultural mission. Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles, the Greeks, and extended across land and sea. Then mission expanded to Europe, to the Americas. Then the missionaries were sent from the global west, primarily North America and England, into the global south. That would be Latin America, Africa, Asia. To share the gospel, translate the Bible, plant churches, and send Christian workers to engage in evangelism. The U.S. and South Korea were the top two missionary sending nations, but now both are experiencing a steady decline of growth of Christianity. But Christianity is growing well in many other regions. The fastest growing areas for Christianity are in the global south, that is Asia and Africa. And the projection that we have from a study, a recent study coming out of Gordon-Conwell, by 2050, the African Christian population is projected to reach 1.28 billion people. That is more than Asia and Latin America combined. And now here is the beautiful reality that we can see in the global church today. As missionaries are sent from the global south churches to the frontier, those are the unreached places. The face of Christianity no longer looks European, Caucasian, and representing the global west. It represents a global God. Christian workers from Asia, from Africa, from Latin America, from Ethiopia, from Iran, from China, from Turkey. The mission force looks global. Isn't it exciting now for a frontier land, an unreached peoples group, to now be invited to an all-nation banquet in the kingdom of God, orchestrated by a global God who loves the whole world? I think this is tremendously exciting. The Great Commission is still ongoing. The task is unfinished, and God's mission continues. So I urge us to pray and eagerly participate in gospel persuasion. I want to introduce two great resources to a new and younger generation. Some of us who are older may know what they are, and I'm pretty sure you do. The first one is Operation World. It's a book that was written by Patrick Johnstone, first printed in 1973. And yes, I know many of you were not born yet. But it's been updated a number of times. It's a prayer guide, a definitive prayer guide for every nation. But the exciting thing now that I want to introduce it now, because it's now online. And it constantly gets updated. You can download it on Google app. They have a Facebook page that have updated information. And there's a website, operationworld.org. The second resource that I want to recommend to a newer and younger generation of believers is the Joshua Project, also familiar to many of us. It's a research initiative seeking to identify the ethnic people groups of the world with the fewest followers of Jesus. That means that there may be no Christians or very few Christians, no Bible, no worker on their land, no churches to go to. So they will not naturally encounter Jesus. This is the website of joshuaproject.net. On their global dashboard of the Joshua Project website, you can visually see that a large part of the world still has no access to a church, no access to scripture in their own language. There are maps, stats, diagrams, pictures, and a God-eye view of the field. And so the work of mission is God's mission, and he invites all nations to be involved. So get equipped, know how to pray, and know where we're trying to reach. The third point is this. Number three, God uses us. That should not be U.S. God uses us to demonstrate his presence in the world. God uses us, his disciples, his people, to show the world his love. We become Jesus in the flesh. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us that I will never leave you or forsake you. A broken world may be so challenged and challenge Christians. Where is your God amidst my suffering? And that's precisely when the church must show up and be counted for God's love to be felt. In 2 Corinthians, Paul uses three images to demonstrate God's presence among people. These are often pointing how his disciples testify verbally and non-verbally of God's loving presence. The first image is the aroma of Christ. We see in 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Like a sweet, pleasant perfume, it may not be an overpowering smell, but we can feel a warm friendship and relationship with Christ when Christ is pleasantly in the room. To those who are being saved, it is an aroma of life that is surrounded by his love. So we become an aroma of Christ. The second image is a letter to be read and known in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. It says there, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. A letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul didn't have an entirely smooth relationship with this Corinthian church. You see, Paul was the missionary who shared the gospel in Corinth, we read in Acts chapter 18, and then he helped to plant the church. Later on, he got reports that things were not going so well with that church. And so he followed up with his first letter, which grieved them to repent. In other words, he rebuked them and tried to set them with the right teaching. And then Paul made a painful visit, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he made great efforts to love them and to have unity together for Christ's sake. Paul reminds the church that our lives are like letters of recommendations where God writes for all to read. Wouldn't it be great if you're trying to get a letter of recommendation right now that you can just say, read me? It's all written in me. It's so clear. My life tells you what I'm all about. And that's what God does through the lives of Christians, and the world will know the Christians by their love. The third image is from this passage today about ambassadors for Christ in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Wow, we are called ambassadors, authorized representatives of Jesus. He calls all believers in the church to be ambassadors, representing Christ to everyone in the world. You're an ambassador, you're an ambassador, you're an ambassador, you're an ambassador. God makes his appeal through us, for people to come to him and to know his love. He uses his ambassadors to bring more into his kingdom. Paul himself was once an enemy of Christ. He once persecuted the church and he worked to destroy early Christians. All of his sin, evil, hate, rebellion was by grace washed away by the blood of Jesus. His old self is gone. His sins are remembered no more. He is clothed now in the righteousness of Jesus, dressed as an ambassador, imploring others be reconciled to God. And there is one more image, not from 2 Corinthians, about a little pencil. When Mother Teresa was interviewed in 1989 after being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize about her work with the poor in Calcutta, India, she only spoke about God's work. She said, "God wants to show his greatness by using nothingness. I don't claim anything of the work. It is his work. I am like a little pencil in his hand. That is all. He does the thinking. He does the writing. The pencil has nothing to do with it, only to be allowed to be used." God uses us, his disciples, to demonstrate his love and presence in the world that he loves. If only we are willing to be used, even as a little pencil, God will always do great work. But we have a tremendous role as an ambassador. In our 2 Corinthians 5 passage, the Apostle Paul revealed why he had great passion to persuade people to hear the gospel and be reconciled to God. Because he had received great mercy and love from Christ. The love of Christ compelled him, controls him in the ESV, urges him in the NRSV. It's a force that makes you do it, a forceful wind that pushes your sail forward. God was compelled by his own love for the world to send his son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And then Paul was compelled by such a love that he was willing to love his opposition, his critics, and his accusers. In verse 13, it said, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." Paul's critics felt that Paul was beside himself, implying that he is out of his mind. You know, Paul is a little crazy, and he's wired differently. Even Jesus' own family thought that Jesus was beside himself when he did not sleep or eat normally. Paul lived so passionately for Jesus that he seemed a little crazy in the world standard. He totally submitted his life for preaching the gospel and gave himself completely to the ministry of reconciliation. He did not live to win the approval of others, but only to work for reconciliation by the compelling love of Christ. And by this force or conviction to endure every hardship, persecution, and affliction, it's so important. It's not an easy walk through the park. Paul and every missionary will face increasing opposition, especially as we see the day approaching. Are you beside yourself and want to persuade others to know Christ? Are you willing to be a little crazy and bold for Jesus? I know you're in here. Now that I think about it, I can think of a fearless missionary who crossed the river at night in a Burmese boat to smuggle Bibles. Now that's a little crazy. That's beside himself. I can think of a shy teenage boy who courageously petitioned his school to allow him to start a Christian prayer club during a very unfriendly climate. He was also beside himself and inspired four other similar teens to start clubs in surrounding schools as well. The love of Christ compelled them. In 1855, an 18-year-old Dwight L. Moody was converted to Christ after his Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball, told him about God's love. He was persuaded and soon became an evangelist. D.L. Moody was beside himself because of his love for Jesus and passion for souls. That he asked everyone he met on the street, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Do you want to be saved, like now?" He asked everyone. The love of Christ compelled him to be beside himself, that people called him Crazy Moody, almost a frightening degree of zeal. Most of us don't think of ourselves with eloquent words to share the gospel. We may have a quieter voice and fear that we'll say the wrong thing or lose all of our friends. But our mission starts from God's sacrificial love, not from guilt or pity or anger about injustice or my need for adventure. God is already at work, and he invites you into his work. You can be a little pencil ready for God to use and to write the message of reconciliation on someone's heart. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you love the world to send your Son, that he would be sin for our sake, that we would become the righteousness of God. That is an amazing love, an amazing message that is worth telling and persuading. Compel us by the love of Christ to become a little beside ourselves. Let your glory and light shine through us. We thank you for your wonderful cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us prepare our